You have a big delegation. So for us, it's a unique opportunity to be in African Union again. So welcome, and then and also thank you. Thanks to our partner from Ministry of Environment to give us this opportunity to learn all, to learn from you all, and they also have the opportunity to have some exchange. So I think we don't have all the names on the tables, but for other students, for colleagues, whoever you are, please, when you speak, just really identify yourself to us, and then we will get more, get to know each other more, okay? So let's give a big applause first to you to come to this university, to our campus. First, I just tell you, my name is Liu Haifang. I'm the Deputy Director and then General Secretary of this Center, Center for African Studies for Peking University. This center has been there since 1998. Actually, it is the very first one in the whole China doing African studies. And then we actually, across the whole university, colleagues from different departments, from different school coming to join us, such as we have Professor Pan here. She is a specialist on African history. And then we also have some PhD, post-PhD Dr. Zhou Yuyuan. He is with us. He actually focused on international studies. So we also have other PhD and then colleagues who are joining us. So I think I just stop here about this small introduction of our center. If you have, because we already have some brochure for you, and if you still have the interest to know more about the center, just let us know, whoever you talk with, just as you please. And then we, after this small forum, we can just, because this time is also too hot, even for you, I guess, from Africa, our dear friend, you felt hot as well. So I think that the first thing we just chat with each other first about this issue, and then later, around 4 o'clock, we can have a walk in the campus. Originally, I discussed with friends from Ministry of the Environment to think of to bring you to our museum, and we also have a museum, special museum for the history of this university. Probably you know this university also, it's the oldest university in China. And then, so we are proud to show you some of the history, but unfortunately, they only open on Wednesday and Friday. So it's not the right time. And also our that museum, which is both a scientific museum and also an archaeologist museum, it's also this time for them is repairing their museum. So I hope then you have enough reason to come again next time. You will be guided to these two museums. And then, but I hope you still enjoy the tour in the campus, because we have a forest, we have the lake in this campus, and then hope you enjoy them. So first we open our small forum, and then I just put two questions here. Number one is, what kind of environment issue you think from your country? Because I know you all working for the Ministry of Environment, so you are definitely experts on this area. So please let us know, give us the opportunity to learn about your country, the environment issue. And secondly, we want to know what you've done for this kind of issues, and then you think this kind of a good lessons, good experience for us to learn. So just to share experience to for both Chinese Africans to learn from each other. Okay, that's a small start word for this forum. Whoever you want to, who you are, you want to talk first, follow up. Is that okay? Thank you. Please.
Okay, Lucio Bo from South Africa. You've got the land and air and the water issues of the environment within the Baronga area, the pollution now. And in a nutshell, we've been trying to connect with other countries to learn more experiences on what is happening, but also how can we combat these problems in our area. The manufactured developed a lot of acts or a lot of regulations in trying to combat these issues, but we are still learning from other countries more about that.
Yeah. So at an official union level, have you ever gone to other countries to attend some workshop to learn and then bring that? Sorry.
We're involved in the exchange program with the Holland in terms of waste management.
Thank you. Please.
I'm Abusi Alexander from Ghana. We also have this deforestation challenge. And currently, we put up this exercise of tree planting. Yeah, tree planting. So I think it's in line as of now. It's ongoing, the tree planting exercise. And it's organized by the Ministry of Environment, Science and Technology.
From Nigeria.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, you know, we are experiencing a problem of pollution from industries flocking into our country because we have our spreading there. So a lot of industries are coming. And what the EPA is doing is that before companies can operate, you have to pass through the EIA process to put in a new regulator to tell all the activities. And the EPA has started to do some monitoring, checking on what they are doing for the care of the activities.
Thank you. Please, the ladies.
My name is Man from Sudan. The most prominent problem is the desertification, the riverbank collapse. Yes, we have this problem in Sudan. Collapse with all what is forget with trees and whatever grass. All what is been doing is in terms of implementing biodiversity and still UNCCD convention.
I saw another hand. Yeah, please.
We have a term for music, and I want to learn to music in this management because we suffer from this problem. And also, we have those conventions and agreed with the other countries like Italy and Jordan, and we
may I ask what kind of specific resource?
Hazard waste, solid waste.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, please.
Alex from Uganda. Yes, we have a problem of land degradation, waste management. Wetland degradation is one major problem because the population is increasing in Uganda, and there's trouble for land, for housing, and cultivation. So what we are doing, what the country is doing is to reclaim wetland degradation. They can fight that. Then controlling our population.
In which way to control?
They are encouraging family planning, not encouraged.
You have two children, right? According to the planning.
Oh. Yeah. Then we have the upcoming issue of climate change. So the country is restrained the provision. So we are trying to apply.
What about the people's education to help for the climate change?
Yeah,
raise the awareness.
Awareness, yes, awareness.
Thank you. Yes, please.
I'm Maria Adams from India. As my colleague here said, this is a real problem, but I want to add some problems. We have something called the black cloud phenomenon, and we are recently trying to mitigate it. We have the problem of air quality control, water management control, and we have biodiversity problem, and we have deforestation, of course, and also we have so many kinds of trees. It is about 29 trees. We are trying to improve the facilities of make them one of the our facilities about tourism income, tourism impact, even from days, not now. And also we have so many problems. Actually, most of them are the key environmental issues that the our Ministry of Environment address as Egypt, working on. That's the climate change adaptation, climate change adaptation and mitigation.
Okay, may I just ask what kind of a reason for your deforestation?
We have made so many forests at Egypt, about 19 forests, and because of the climate change impact, we are deforestation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not become forests last year.
Okay. Please.
Yeah, my name is Sinashe Ndovada from Zimbabwe.
Mm.
Yeah, as you might be aware, Zimbabwe is a country that is based on agriculture and mining. So basically, the problems that we are facing, deforestation, is people are looking for land to do the agricultural activities and clear that land. And we also have pollution from mining activities. We have Chinese guys coming to invest in the mining sector, whatever. But now we have the problem of pollution. We also have these other problems mentioned by the other colleagues from Africa. But we also have the challenge of biodiversity loss. Because, you know, it's a topic. So the biomass load is rich.
Mm-hmm.
So people engage in these illegal activities. And when they start fires, we have third fires. And we have quite a number of losses in terms of biodiversity.
Mm.
But however, the ministry and its entities are engaging in quite a number of activities, fire awareness campaigns, so that people desist from these activities of starting up fires just like that. And also, we have some regulations for forest management. We have also a program, the tobacco wood energy program, for those who are into tobacco farming, because as you might be aware, during when people do tobacco farming, they use the firewood to cure the tobacco. So they cut the trees for the processing of the tobacco. So we are now saying people should plant the trees first and then cut the trees
okay.
to compensate the loss of the trees. So that's a program that is running, but we are also encouraging people to use other alternatives like coal for the processing of tobacco. In terms of waste management, we have quite a number of activities, awareness campaigns, seminars, and other platforms, and even the media, we advertise, we also publicize these activities of environmental awareness. But however, the other four problems we share is African countries, but basically those were the major problems.
Thank you. Yeah, what about you mentioned the Chinese new entrepreneurs, probably their behavior is not as good as you expected.
No,
have you ever done like something?
It's not like that. We're just saying it's rich in resources, so to attract the investors. So we also have investors from China coming.
Yeah, I understand. I just wonder.
We have a law that is there for environmental impact assessment.
Okay,
but
this assessment will be done by you or by the
no,
factory.
It's the Environmental Management Agency that will issue a certificate for
those new investment applications.
Yeah.
Great.
But however, we have these challenges of pollution because our systems are not that perfect.
Thank you.
I think I can just say the same thing. I also am from Maxima. In addition to the waste component, liquid and solids, the liquid and solid waste responsibilities of managing that with the local authorities, and we have a problem in terms of them being able to manage. So in terms of working with the local authorities from the ministry, we're putting a strategy so that we can broaden participation of players in the waste management. Including the communities into waste management. So we actually running pilot program to see how communities can be part of waste collection, waste recycling, with the partnership with the company from NEP, with the liquid waste sewage, the program running to upgrade particularly major treatment plants with the UNICEF funding so that capacity is increased to meet the daily flows of sewage treatment plants.
Please, the gentleman.
I'm a person from Uganda. The other problem that we have is oil waste. Recently we discovered oil and we are in the process of exploration and extraction. However, we have put a lot of challenges on how to deal with the waste. That's why we are even proposing a pipeline for the cost of Kenya so that we can have proper waste management. Another thing is that the location of this oil is directly where it is from, neighbors. National park. There has been a challenge when these guys are going to do the exploration, and when they start drilling, they expect to have an environment and even the animals. But there are doing some because of benchmarking, see how it can be managed.
Which is what kind of benchmark?
We are comparing notes with other countries which already have oil. Resource and how they have managed the waste and the environment.
Thank you. Please.
Thank you. I'm Rasila Mohammed from Sudan. I'd just like to add something.
Salt or no?
Yeah.
That's a question.
Yeah, now we have South Sudan, unfortunately. The north, the old country, and the south, the newly emerging country, which was just emerged in July 2011, according to a referendum for the Southern Sudanese people. Yeah, as my sister said, the major environmental problems that Sudan faces are desertification, that is a major, then deforestation, which is moving at an increasing rate, land degradation translated into soil erosion also, and water pollution. ago has increasing pollutants from oil industry, particularly in the south of Sudan, which is mainly, I think, water pollution and biodiversity loss. And also the AI pollution in the north, because the upstream oil industry is located in the north. So we expect major air pollutants to be in the northern part of the country, while the water pollution will be in the south of the country. Also, a recent major increase in environmental problem that is related to gold mining. We have an increasing activities in gold mining since 2009, with increasing emissions of mercury. This will be, I think, a significant problem in the near future. Now, when many parts of the country, in the north, I mean, subjected to gold mining. The country has been, I think, doing a lot of efforts to combat mainly desertification, and it was a party of the International Convention to combat desertification. And I think it has done a lot in this regard, but it's still the country needs to do a lot. We have national planning authority, which plans for the development activities in the country, including environmental protection. We are currently have 25 years land, which is disaggregated into 5 years land that extends from 2007 up to 2033. It includes some, as I said, sub lands, for example, the agricultural revival land, which is focusing on the agricultural sector, because Sudan economy is mainly agricultural based, with emerging oil and other minerals industries. With regard to environmental education and awareness, we have, I think, a good efforts in this regard, because we have university and institutions to offer education in environmental protection and environmental promotion, including a center or an institute at the University of Rome, that is an institute of environmental studies, and another faculty in another university, that is a faculty of environmental sciences, as well as the Sudanese Environmental Education Society, which is created since 1972. But the studies, I think, undertaken there are mostly theoretical, and we need to have more education to the outcomes of such studies. Thank you.
Thank you. Please, the lady.
Thank you. My name is Kenya. I'm from Ethiopia.
Ethiopia.
Ethiopia has a population of around 8 million, and most of the population more than 85% are rural based. They are living in rural areas. And the economy also based on the based, agriculture based economy we have. So deforestation is a big problem in our country. Now the government is under a big campaign to conserve the water and soil. So there is a campaign, this is called soil and water conservation campaign by the rural areas, in the rural areas. When it comes to urban cities, waste management, concrete management is a big problem. For this one, to solve this problem, there are many regulations regarding to this one, and we have social programming. So implementation is a big problem. So currently the government is doing what is now establishing for youth and women a small micro enterprise. Then they are working together, giving the job opportunities for them, and also environment competitive.
Thank you.
To add one more, I'm from Ethiopia.
as my colleague said, the main problem is the environmental problem that we are facing is that land degradation and deforestation. To curb this problem sustainably, the government has set a green economy strategy which sets every sector has set a goal which is their own 5 years plan, just like Japan's government. This green economy strategy has 7 pillars: urban development, energy saving and development, livestock production, but every sector has its own goal. To say energy, even the factories, most of the factories, more than 90%, they use, even the cement factories, use hydropower electricity from the power. That's why sustainable use more, they are dependent on hydroelectric power, because the deforestation is causing due to the fuel load consumption. That's why the government is based on the 5-year plan. That's so sustainable.
Any more?
I'm a student here. I come from Kenya. I don't know if I'm a government official, but I like this forum because it's one of the most interesting areas. So, just for the sake, because this is a forum where we can share experiences, I really want to learn. One of our major concerns in Kenya is recently, and for those my friends from Uganda, Lake Victoria was invaded by some invasive species. I don't know what it's called scientifically. There's a wee water hyacinth.
Yes.
It has covered almost the banks, a very big proportion of the lake. And to the extent that it's now really preventing most fishermen from really harvesting fish, and even the mobility is really a big challenge. And so perhaps this forum might help us if you've had that kind of experience in your country, maybe how you have been dealing with that, and maybe how this forum can be able to contribute towards getting rid of that weed, because it is dangerous. At the same time, people, some initiatives have been tried where people have discovered that it can be harvested, and they make baskets, they can make chairs from it. But now those are very small scale things, because it's a big thing. That's number one. Number two is about solid waste management. In my undergraduate studies, I think one of my thesis that I wrote was on solid waste management, particularly in the University of Nairobi. And I like the experience of China, specifically at this university, the way they have organized the management of their solid waste. So maybe I would need to hear also from the Chinese, how do they manage the solid waste, because it's a common denominator for all of us.
Yeah.
And that would be a very good experience for all of us to learn, and perhaps even something that we can apply back home. We'd really appreciate. Thank you.
So anyone want to answer the question? Or from my colleagues from the Environment Ministry or the Environment to give the answer to about the waste management. Would you like to contribute? Yeah, please. Two members. One is to introduce another new species, just like three members. Thanks a lot, Ms. He. Longa.
Yeah, I think China is also very good in controlling erosion. Mm-hmm. In fighting erosion. Erosion of the soil, yeah. Erosion. Yeah. That's the new Chinese government can be, you know, helping us to fight erosion. Mm-hmm.
Which country are you
from? I'm from the Democratic Republic. I am a PhD student here. I'm sorry I didn't introduce myself because I will make a longer point later on if they moderate.
Yeah. Okay. I want to ask a rather a bigger question to you all, which is my major concern, as William says. More than 20 years ago, while I was still a student, the main things we discussed with each other is we are developing countries, we are undeveloped yet. So the big things for us, we try to avoid those experiences of those developed countries. We should not pollute our environment first, and then we talk about how to deal with. But currently, we find after 20 years, we do have the second one GDP in the whole world, but we probably the biggest polluters. And then also, so what's your understanding of those kind of a situation, and what kind of a things you are doing for this kind, try to avoid this kind of situation in your country? And also, I wonder how much awareness people do have in your specific country about protecting the environment and the eco, if we can say eco-civilization, with a biggest value. Please.
Yeah,
I'm
from Sudan.
So
I think all our revision make a retain the economic growth over the environmental protection. So that they focus on the economic growth regardless of what's happening to the environment. Although the experience is well known from the developed countries. But they focus on the economic growth, and they pollute the air, pollute the water, and exhaust the resources. That all reflects bad on the environment. So we need to aware the decision maker, the whole environmental body. And now I think they start to respond to the awareness campaign. It's not like 10 years ago. So there is some kind of response now in my country.
You mean the people do have very serious awareness about environmental protection?
Yes. they start to be aware.
That's a very positive news.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Please.
Maybe the truth is we are developing countries. Yes, we are underdeveloped. So the mere fact that when these disasters come, like we welcome them with open hands. We forget all about the environment and okay, we try to arouse some awareness, but because we've never experienced them, the those hard like pollution and water at the highest level. So most times we ignore these things. We just welcome the investors because we know that they are going to take us away from the poverty, you know, poverty line. And,
And also all our countries are in the game of the whole world, of the whole world economy, and then you seemingly how to compare, how to say, to compare your GDP with all the rest. And then
and at the same time, when they give us like the donations and all the incentives they give us, the incentives have a backing. So if they are to give you money, you have to do what they want. So you decide between getting what they want done or failing to get what you want from them.
But for this thing that I want to contribute is the Chinese receiving aid experience is from the very beginning. China has its own agenda. So all the donors must have to feel fit in Chinese own agenda instead of to let them to organize the project. And then Chinese organize the project. Of course, though, in many occasions you have to learn from the other ones the experience, but the ownership is a very important thing.
We need to learn from you because at least you've been somewhere. You are ahead of us now.
Our major concern is to help you to avoid our experience. Don't just lose in the trap again to be the Bluetooth. Yeah, please.
The other point, just to add what Gary Kodin is saying. In African countries, the major challenge is poverty. So you find we are seen to be a jumping ground by these developed countries. When they see something like, especially electronic waste, they donate to Africa. We receive with both hands saying this is new technology. But yet it's now old technology. We are left with the burden of disposing that old technology again. So even the vehicles, the ones they no longer want, they put to Africa, everything inside Africa, go to Africa. So we have a challenge in as much as we want to protect the environment.
Probably you should set up standards. What kind of a...
But now
you don't accept at all.
The political leaders, they want votes. So they say, no, we have got this equipment donated, no, for this school, for this whatever. But that it's obsolete technology. But we receive with both hands because of poverty. So that's the major challenge we have.
Yeah, and then what do you think of it to deal with this type of a situation? Civil campaign or?
I think it is the whole decision make awareness. Because like the same situation happening in the petroleum industry in Sudan. A Chinese company exploited for petroleum and they gave protection the incentives of their investment to the government to rehabilitate the environment around the petroleum field. And what the government do is just take that money and put it in the Ministry of Finance and do nothing for the environment. Mm-hmm. The environment is degrading. And when we investigate about Chinese companies, they said, we give some of our investments to the government and that is its work to do the rehabilitation. And it's a matter of decision maker awareness. They don't care about the environment, it's not their priority. It is just to make any economic progress and that's it. Yes.
Very sad.
Very sad, yeah.
Please, the gentleman.
Thank you. There is one thing that I want to talk about. We as Africa, we have started back and forth, you know, bringing the both countries to each and every country. I'll take an example of Rwanda. Rwanda is a small country somewhere in Africa.
Without a soul.
But they have set standards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They have set standards.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the goods and services we receive from both countries, sometimes these manufactured goods are not delivered on a national basis. But to the businessmen, dealing with the other businessmen, of course, by the national, the country sets standards. So I'm saying our standards in Africa are also still poor. So we have failed to manage our services. Rwanda, you cannot take their substandard good.
Mm-hmm.
We have been talking about hopes and the whatever, the international banned chemical and whatever. In Rwanda, they observe the law to the letter. And their environmental standards are high.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of goods they receive is high.
Yeah.
Yesterday, someone told me, I said, I want to buy something in town. They said, I have to like it, an original thing in China. They said, what you ask for, you have to do that. You get it. Okay? So I think in Africa, we are assuming what we are bargaining for because of our poor standards.
I just want to add what my colleague said. I think the major problem in Africa is poverty, as well known. And we know the relationship between poverty and environmental protection. It's not easy to protect the environment as long as people are poor.
Mm-hmm.
They have no choices. They have to support the environment in order to survive. And that is typically our case in many places in Sudan,
mm-hmm.
particularly in rural areas. People are degrading the environment just to survive because there are no other needs. And we also are too far, I think, to talk about the green economy in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I just quote a result of one study in this regard. One of environmental economists' sources found that African countries are too poor to be green. Too poor to be green. We may need maybe more than 60 years to start, just to start, to grow green. And even just to maybe to follow what China has been doing maybe for more than 30 years now. So the major challenge is to combat poverty, first, and then to think about environmental protection. Yeah.
No, our experience actually, or currently there was some statistic already saying, yes, we were the poor country the same 30 years ago, even 20 years ago. Probably still now we still have a big population who are living under the poverty line. And then we still take the excuse, the economic growth as the cost for the environment. But the point is, currently we are spending much more money than we gain, to deal with environment issues. Yeah, I think my colleagues from Ministry of Environment can prove this truth. So anyone want to jump in? Please, Longa.
Yeah. As I said, my name is Lukongo. I'm from the Democratic Republic of Congo. I'm a PhD in this school, PhD candidate. I'm researching China Africa relations. And although environment is not directly linked to my research, so we are part of all this problem we are having in Africa. Well, number one, like the Ugandan brother said, the developed country, the rich country. Right now, America has withdrawn from Kyoto Agreement.
Mm.
And so they expect countries like China and other poor countries to cut their emission, but they don't want to cut theirs. So they don't want any other developing country to grow big, so to equal them. That's the hypocrisy of international politics.
and we are suffering from it. Secondly, is the corruption in Africa itself. How can we talk about cleaning the environment when we cannot clean our own politics, our own government? You know that some Western company bring this nuclear waste and they dump it in Africa. They bribe the minister, they bribe the government and say, okay, bring it, you can dump it in my country. It happened in Ivory Coast, you know, Trafigura. And many people died. So our own government are doing that. You know, you all work in the Ministry of Environment. I don't know the situation in each country, but it's happening. It's corruption that is also destroying our own environment, our own political system, you know. And the conflict destroys a lot of environment. Since the civil war in Rwanda in 94, we have welcomed so many refugees, and we give them space to live. Maybe the space of Beijing. What happened to the trees in that place? Of course, they will be cut. You know. So there is a direct link between conflict and environment. And so, African countries, instead of, you know, spending time on how to unify in order to fight our common enemy, which is poverty and the underdevelopment, like President Mugabe said recently, we spend about $87 billion a year fighting each other. No? America comes, give guns to Museveni and Kagame, they go to Congo, rape, kill 80 million, loot, rape women, loot minerals. You know? And it's happening in our very eyes for the last 20 years. The Africans, are they thinking beings that they let things like that happen? Not just in Congo, between Ethiopia and Eritrea, in Mali now, Cote d'Ivoire, Mali, Central African Republic. So these conflicts are going on and on and on, and that means the environment is going to be really at risk. And then the next point I would like to make is about what my brother from Zimbabwe said, like treating tobacco. How can we harness the alternative energies? For instance, the sun. Africa is very hot. So we can harness this and create solar power, or try to use the solar energy to dry the tobacco instead of cutting the trees. So we are behind because of technology. We spend time killing each other instead of thinking about new technology to get ourselves out of this mess. China is getting out of itself out of this mess because it's developing its own technology, its own science. The West will never share their technological, scientific knowledge with us. Never. Only China will. For instance, Kinshasa, the capital of my country, is built on the hill. And the University of Kinshasa is threatened by erosion. The whole thing can just collapse into the river. But the Chinese came and they helped and they stopped the erosion. So that's why I said that the Chinese also have a lot of experience in controlling the erosion. So these are some of the things I have been thinking about sharing with you. This is our own political system. Our own corrupt system are the main source of the problem. Environment is just the outcome of our bad political system, of our corrupt system. That's what I'm thinking. And then we attend so many conferences at the UN. We had a UN conference in Shanghai this week, and the biggest delegation of African participants was from Nigeria. But we attend so many international conferences, but the situation in our country is not changing. Why? So we go, we learn a lot of lessons, we take notes, we share, and we go back. The situation in Africa is still as usual. Sorry, my sister, you can add to that.
We can do this, but also we help from the others, you know?
Yeah.
If I attend and talk to the special watchers, and I learn my lesson, and I stay back to my country to perform. So it's all from the other about what I heard, it will not help me.
Yes.
It depends on your team, as you know, in all African countries, not only in Egypt, but all the African countries have a lot of teams. As you know.
Yes, you're right.
And China here is very
everyone take your points already. Yeah, it's a very good to encourage people to bring something back. And then also, I also want to everyone to have a rather positive view, because some people already said we need to harness the opportunities. Yeah, not only donations or aid or whatever, just economic opportunities coming from China or from other emerging countries, probably also coming from older donors, even American, how we use them. Yeah, instead of just listening to them. So, oh, please, William.
Thank you, because of my height. I'd like to just make a few observations.
More visible.
Thank you. Number one, I'm learning quite a lot of things from this forum. I'm seeing, particularly for the Chinese waste management, one of the things for my case, because my course is 1 year, for the period I've been here, I'm very keen on what I see, specifically because this is my environment. I have noticed that the majority of the waste in Chinese, from all what we consume now, are recycled. I don't know whether there was an opportunity for you people to visit some of these facilities, because I have really wanted that maybe Professor one day to take me to one of the recycling factories within China, because I think it's a very good thing that we miss. So if we can be able to see how the Chinese recycle some of the waste, then if we go back, even if you're not given an opportunity to be listened to, you can do something as an individual. Because a number of us as officials, whereas we will depend on the senior managers to decide because they're the key decision makers. But there is what we call personal initiative. Because you will see and try in your small way, and even if they reject and it works in your place, somebody somewhere will see. And maybe it can be applied. In one of my courses that I learned during this time about China, it's called the Chinese method of decision making was experimentation. They would try specific zones and target a small population where they think
even if it fails, it will not affect the bigger population. So this experimentation as a method of decision making, particularly for investment and many other things, I found it to be a unique way. Why can't we borrow this? If by any chance we might have visited some of these industries like recycling industries, go and try it. Number two, an opportunity that we may not have really exploited in our countries could be the attitude. Because from when we were children, when a child is growing up, we don't guide the child to manage the waste. Because the child will see it from us. We just buy a sweet, we eat a banana, and throw it by the roadside. And then we expect by the end of 10, maybe many years to come, we'll start talking about how we manage. Could it be possible that we can be able to do something about the generation to come? Professor mentioned something about China many years ago, 20 years ago when she was young. Today she's old.
Am I old?
I mean, she's advanced. But if we can correct the situations by advising our children from the tender age to start embracing this, perhaps we can be able to save our future. So I think one of my proposals maybe for us, because you are all leaders, what can you do? Can you go back there and look at what can we do to our children, sensitization, trying to enforce them within the children. You know, when you enforce it among the children, you make it like a taboo. If you throw a waste, you will be arrested. The child will never throw it anyhow. And they will grow to see us, and they will know that it is dangerous. But we will not use threats. We can only use very good education to help them understand the value and the risks that are likely to be caused. If we do that, perhaps I think maybe that can be able to help. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Helen. So any more?
I will add about the national tax, which is part of environment. I've just read it today that in Mozambique, the national park, the rhino has completely disappeared because of poaching. The same applies to when investor comes to your country. The minister gets the bribe and then allow anybody to do anything. Mm-hmm. So, do I blame the Chinese? Because in the article I read today, they said there are no more rhino in that park because they have been poached. And because in China and in Vietnam, they need a coal for traditional medicine. That's why these African animals are facing extinction. But the Chinese don't know our forest. Who take the Chinese there? Right inside the forest or other foreigners? No. It's you yourself, African, you know? The foreigner doesn't know your land. The foreigner doesn't know your park. The foreigner doesn't know where the rhino are. So we come back to the corruption. Mm. And perhaps in 50, 100 years, we don't know where Africa will be. How many parks will be left? How many exotic animals will be left? Africa will be recolonized. And then what are we going to say? Oh, we blame outsiders? No. We have to look into ourselves now. Because minerals are not forever. Diamonds are not forever. You know? It's the environment we must protect to bequeath it to our children. That's the last point I wanted to make.
Thanks, Jordan. Yeah, help yourself with some fruits still on table. Don't be too shy. Please.
I want to ask a question. My brother from Kenya said,
yeah.
In Ghana, for instance, we follow this technique of spot pine. That when you are seeing dropping waste in the cities or the abandoned position, you are supposed to pay a fine. Instant fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so I think the other countries can also adapt this policy and strengthen it, that waste management can be.
15.
I think most of our friends are speaking that. It's common problem in Africa is the most recent. But the most interesting is that political commitment is the basic. For instance, in our country, the government has a strategy, set a strategy, green economy strategy. It's on this 5-year plan, every sector has its goal to minimize and to use the environmental sustainability. I think this is best for Africa.
Then how to implement probably is the most important thing.
Just the government has set this on 5-year plan.
It's only 5-year plan. So within 5 years, all the plan has to be implemented, right?
You see, the other challenge we have in Africa is we are good at documenting things. Writing, this plan, policy, whatever. But the implementation aspect of it is a challenge. We just document and then we put in the shelves. You get into the director's office, these books are loaded. There's a big pile of books, but on the ground there's nothing happening. That's the problem. The implementation. Maybe it's because we don't have resources or whatever, but the implementation of these policies are a challenge.
Lack of money. But they don't lack of time to do the planning, right?
What I personally feel is that Africans are greedy.
Don't blame everyone.
No, it's the general trend in Africa. Like my colleague was saying that the politicians get bribed at the expense of the environment. That's being greedy. Because you are looking at your own benefit, but not looking at the nation at large or the continent. So that greediness is across even with the officers. Well, you find they must implement some of these issues, but because he is bribed, he looks aside and says, no, you can do it. He goes away.
The cause of poverty.
Yeah, but it's also...
Can we number several good guys in each of the countries? Several good guys in each country. Okay, Sata is a good guy. Or Kagame, or in each country. Who is rather selfless and can commit it for the whole people's happiness instead of for his own personal.
Yeah, the one personal gain is the challenge.
That's bad.
I appreciate the discussion. I think one area where perhaps the person needs to work on is standards and sets. Or what we need to do as Africa is to start from there. You say the AI process, we have adopted, we know it works. So it's adopting into our own systems. In line with the issue of giving perhaps with the public being able to demand results from government, I think that's the area where perhaps us in the government sector we need to give capacity communities so that they demand results from government. Because if say a project is coming into their area, then make a decision to say what should be done and what should not be done. And that the capacity for communities to say no or yes to a project, I think we have not done enough to give capacity to our communities. And that's an area I think which we need to capacitate them to be able to want to demand results and also be able to say, no, we cannot select this project for these reasons. Those reasons are part of the management system which they are locally implementing. So it's also very critical. I think it goes to the issue of attitude that we're talking about.
Yeah.
What people can say what to government is very critical. If they have a muscle to say, want this done, want this not be done. I think it's a very big challenge to ask for in government to be able to give capacity to locals.
Thank you. Professor Pan just came back from her African trip from Morocco this time, right? And she actually, within two or three years, she'd been traveling many times on the ground, really on the ground in Mali, in Morocco. So I really wonder what's her point for this issue, please.
Okay, thank you very much. Actually, I learned 6 years and a half for population, environment and development in Belgium. So for me, when I look at this title, I often think of what I have learned, but it's a long time ago. Because since my return, I have just taught general history of Africa. So I find maybe the subject is a bit far from my study now or my research now. But when I was listening to you, I feel it's still very close to me because it's my field. It's my research field. It's my research field. So what you talked about the problem or issues of environment, it really exists everywhere in the world now. Even the deforestation, it's linked with the biological diversification, so it's very important. But all of your country, I think, except the Egypt, all the country, not so Sudan, it's also desertification. But the other countries, I think, have no such a problem now, even not grave now. For me, in my opinion, for the environment, I just thought the way they make it. Two factors are very important. One is education. The other is technology. The technology is to treatment, to deal with this problem. The education is a prey before the degradation of the environment. But the education, not only for children, not only in the school, it's also ecological politics. So from the high level of the government to the background, so we should give education manually. So it's very important because environment stay with ours every moment. Not just you think the project you found, it's the conversation over there. It's not only, it's my opinion. And the other ones if every Chinese, if we went to the Africa, when we return, we often say that Africa is much less pollution than China. From the sky to the underground water, very much more. So you never think Chinese is better, environment is better than you. So it's wrong. It's definitely wrong because our country has the great biggest problem of the environment. Even your nutrition, your food, it's also everywhere. So but our problem, what's the problem? If you know a little about our philosophy, our Taoism, it's very eco-politics, but he's never surprised that. Never surprise the Confucianism, because Confucianism is do action. But our Taoism is not do action, but we should respect the environment. So that's the reason why our today now here. So you definitely see that. I think just maybe rubbish in Africa, I can see everywhere, the waste management. But others, if you look at the sky here, the color, you never see in Africa like this. No. Thank you.
May I comment? But you are still don't
not
mind.
Not for professor, you will also get worse.
Yeah, that's our worry, our concern. Yeah, because more engagement and see re-engagement are coming from everywhere to Africa.
Yeah.
So that's our big concern.
But I just recall the need of Taoism, we should balance a little Confucianism and the Taoism, not only Confucianism.
Mm.
You are already awake and aware of the problem and don't find in terms of saving the emissions and saving energy. Don't find on climate change issues and energy issues. It's not like in Africa. They start to grow now to increase the emission and spend more energy, not efficiently, not in a sustainable way.
Because of the development ideology, it's changed now. I think one famous African said that the African people will never become American people because the spirit are quite different. I hope so.
And then you probably know that the Chinese government now investing much more money than to the cleaner energy than the traditional energy. So which means the policy is changing and guiding the investors to another way, and then try to protect. But we already have so serious environmental issues, and then nearly 90% of rivers in China are polluted already. Yeah. So this is the biggest lesson we have to take.
And China is also very advanced in green technology, and they export a lot of what do you call these things that
windmill.
That's also a hope. A hope to the rest of the world, that especially the developing world can learn from China. You know, China is now even more advanced in the green technology than America. And that's really not a hope. Yeah. Of course there are problems, but I want to see that my professor Yuan-Chan always says, try to see the positive side of things as well. Not just although Congo is not situation, but Congo is the future of Africa, because if Congo succeeds, the whole of Africa will. And I just read this morning as well that in 20 years, China and Africa will be the driver of the economy of the world. And who's saying that? David Lammy, the boss of WTO. So I quote him.
So I wonder, Yuan, probably you have some points.
Thank you. I learned a lot from the discussion. Actually, when we mentioned studies on African politics, problem is not my future field, but the environment is also close to our human life. So, I want to say, environment. So, you can't say it's a problem. You can say it's a crisis or how things being wrong compared to African Brazil. But from the discussion, I care about one question about the relationship between the ministry, the governance of environment. With the civil society organizations. In China, now the environment is a big problem, so lots of people, stars, single stars, movie stars, and also some other, maybe the entrepreneurs care about the environment. So I want to ask you how in every country, the civil society is very much bigger and has lots of voice and power than Chinese civil societies. How do you channel the relation between the government and the civil societies? Do you have any experience to share with us? Yeah. I want to learn from you.
Would you like to respond?
Yeah,
please.
I think are working right. They are looking at China has no environmental problems. Actually, they are bigger than most African countries. The difference is that you have managed it, or you are managing it better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You have experienced worse situation than us. Okay? And the current situation in China is worse than ours. Only that when you have now learned, you have developed ways and means for trying to curb the problem. While for us now it is becoming a new emergency. Okay? So we are thankful for their love. We don't want to be where you have been. Okay? That's why you see us complaining. We are trying to stop ourselves from going where you have been because it has been bad. So China is not free. Not free also.
Maybe if I got his other comment right, I think it's also trying to seek our opinion on the fact that in Africa, the people societies are very aggressive and their role in helping and push some of these things against the government. So it's like, okay, what is the role? How effective and what can China also learn? And I think from my perspective, I think the people societies also have their own interests. Because just like in peace and conflict management, you'll find a lot of civil societies. They are not there to resolve the conflict and the NGOs.
Yes.
They are there to make money. And this kind of attitude is the worst that is really killing and thwarting some of these things. So an NGO or a civil society will come in the name of conserving the environment and will seek a lot of dollars from wherever. Now, if they come and solve the problem, where will they get another job when they restructure the company and the civil society? So that is why we have this vicious circle. Because the poverty is a vicious circle, environmental issues are vicious circles. Why? Some of the stakeholders like the civil society, they are not there to clean and to make sure it is done. They are there, they are also men and women who want employment. So they must be employed by showing their existence. So it might not be very effective. And that's why some of these problems are recurring day in and out. So unless there is something or policies are, and apparently the policymakers are still the political, and I like what the professor has introduced, I've had it for the first time, professor, the historian, you know, to say you need to look at the ecopolitics. So that the eco-politicians could be able to see if we can fine-tune them and they see the civil societies from different angles as we standardize things that need to be done, we can solve the problem. Because I know the politics in China is quite different from what is happening in Africa. So maybe I don't know whether I've been able to answer or make a comment on what is happening.
Are you satisfied, Ian?
Yeah.
Okay.
I add one point just to what you said, how right you are, William, because even the conflict in Congo has dragged on for 20 years now. And the very UN troops who have come to Congo to solve the problem are cooperating with the Rwandan and Uganda rebels to make the conflict continue. And they don't shy from saying it. They said, No Rwanda rebel, no Uganda rebel, no job for us in Congo. They said it on the record. No rebels, no job for us. No Nkunda, no job. They say it on the record. So you are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. Yeah.
Thanks,
Uga.
Yeah.
To answer the question, in my country, there is a network called Civil Society. This civil society network there is a conflict, environment conflict, led by the prime minister of the country, and also the regional, this conflict consists of regional presidents, regional ministries regarding on the environment. So this conflict also has involved the civil society network. So
And just so why is it established your section of the environment? Which year? Why is it
this network is
established?
Yeah. She's asking which year this network per se was set up.
When was it launched?
Yeah, it's
currently
before, I don't know the year, but
there is, I know. Promila is already there.
Yeah,
it was there already.
2002.
Thank you. Yeah.
I can also make a contribution in terms of civil society. We need to map the way for the past 2 years, we've been trying to make an assessment of the NGOs, their product, their project on environment in terms of their impact. We've got a number of projects that they are doing. What we have seen is, in terms of reporting and talking about what they report and what we don't want, I can give an example. They're saying one provides the livelihood issues, because we are saying it's poverty. So what we want to do, perhaps we want to be a group of 20 people, want to provide them with the same material, they have a garden, maybe they can do the nutrition garden. But the garden that they are giving them, perhaps two rows of wire, of barbed wire, a row which is 750 meters. It's not adequate enough to protect that garden from your goals, your livestock, which can be what you are going to do in that vegetable garden, a hectare. So what the community will do now is to go and cut more. So in terms of environmental improvement with that project that is being implemented by the organization, there's no improvement. Because the community continues to cut trees so that it protects that 1 hectare plot where they are between the activity. So it's one area of concern, but we realize that there is also need for government through places our ministry to ensure that their activities are coordinated and monitored. If they implement the project from the start, we need to work together with them so that we see if it is a project, it is going to be a project which is there's four components and then on its own, if we react to those.
Thank you. Very good. Sir.
Another question is how does the public think about the NGO's work or activities? Does it think their project or activities work well or is it just some other symbol work?
Well, I would say it's mainly in different forms. Like he said, that somebody will come up and initiate a project, and then that particular person will be looking at him daily rather than being necessarily. The project will start, will kick off well, get a number of people engaged in the project, and in the long run, reach out a lot of money to the project just because the project is gone and it will not continue. So, those are the problems.
In other countries, there are many opposition parties. I can only speak about my country. I don't know any other country.
There are also many opposition political parties and NGOs and also civil societies who are paid by Western Secret Service for their only reason every day to bang in our ears that China is coming to colonize Africa. So that's what's happening. So, but the African people can themselves see the difference between the win-win policy that China is bringing to Africa. For instance, look at in Congo, all the mining contracts we signed with Western companies don't go beyond 20%, the stake of the Congolese state. But at least with the Chinese contract, we have 36%, because China is bringing technology and investment and also manpower. So it's always higher, the Chinese investment, the stake of our country inside the Chinese investment. So this problem, this propaganda, which so many political parties are being used in Africa to say to us every day that China is coming to colonize Africa, we must be careful about that. Because a friend is in need is a friend indeed. During this financial crisis, if China didn't intervene in Africa, what will happen? Not only Africa, also Europe, you know, Spain, Greece, even America itself. If China didn't intervene with this massive reserve, what will happen? That's my last contribution.
Thank you, Linka. Li Shan, would you like to bring some Moroccan perspective? Yes.
My name is Li Shan. I'm from Morocco. I'm doing my PhD in international politics. I'm not majoring in the issue. I did it for our paper about the international agreements and the environment issue. So not really specific like you, right? But in my suggestion, I think as we are developing country, we facing development issue. So we facing more social challenge, more than environment. But I think we have to balance between these kind of it's not priority, but we have to, you know, to focus in the same environment at the same time in development. But sometimes if you focus more in environment, maybe you have some obstacle in development. If you follow this kind of standard for investment or something, because Europeans, if they want to invest in your country, you have to have the standard of the environment. I think it's more is a kind of obstacle for development, because in Europe in the 18th century, it was harming the environment. So, but now they reach this time, this period, because they need environment. But we still not have in industrial period. So we didn't start this period. So if we start to focus more on environment, I think we will. Well, but at least we still keep this kind of education in the school. Now recycling is okay, but we have to. We don't need to be more engaged in international issue in this kind of thing, because we don't need more agreement to be an obstacle in African development projects. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone? Please, William.
Just a quick comment. I just thought about it. Today we are discussing about environment and development. And China is our very good friend, the African friend. Somebody mentioned, though it was not coming out very clear, the issue of e-waste. It is a real challenge. Now, it's a real challenge for China, China, because China is assisting us, assisting Africa in many perspectives. And we need to look at the future from today. A number of mobile phones, for example, are being manufactured with the targets of African countries. You find that majority of the electronic gadgets that are being used, even in America, some of them, their farms are done, they are being manufactured here in China. So, but the standards for American market is different from the African market. And that means if we need to think environment and for future development and to help Africa, could it be possible that we can also look at the manufacturing sector? so that we look at, if we want to help Africa in 20 years to come, we don't sit again in Peking University discussing e-waste. How will we, what policies should we put in place so that, yes, we manufacture the phones that we send even to Africa will not be dumped in the next 2 days. 2 weeks ago, my daughter was here and I bought a phone for somebody back at home. And I said, I did it deliberately because I wanted to test. Now, when it was sent, I called to confirm whether the phone is working. I was told, sorry, it is China specific. So no mobile company would unblock that kind of gadget. Now, how many other African visitors who come here, they buy such gadgets?
We have one.
They use it for 1 day, or they don't use it at all, and it will be dumped. It becomes a waste whose impact in the long run will be very disastrous. So this forum should be able to put in place, and we have the environment from that ministry, we have those officials. How do we interrelate the policies of manufacturing, economic production, economic development, and our relationship with Africa? So that our whatever we say will also be in tandem with what we do to save the future. Thank you.
We have a point of information. Congo Brazzaville has just manufactured the first African mobile phone. And we have to go from there. The first African mobile phone manufactured by Africa was launched last week. Mm-hmm. And when President Huizinga was in Zambia, he was pretty clear to Chinese companies, protect environment when you're operating here. And President Zuma was very clear about beneficiation. We cannot keep on giving the whole world the raw material and we don't transform it on the ground in Africa to create a job and market for ourselves. You know? And also the president of the African Commission, when she came to China, she was pretty clear on this. And what I like about the Chinese is that they take good notes. Thank you.
Thank you, Luca. My Sudanese brother, please.
I think the point is related to our economic performance. When we compare the standards and quality for the Americans to the standards and quality for the Africans. Because simply Americans are ready and able to pay for that standards and quality. We are not in that position. So if I maybe a mobile phone for just 400 yuan, while the real one would cost more than 4,000 yuan. We can't afford to pay 200, but not 4,000. So our economic ability is our own problem. It's not the Chinese side.
Thank you for excusing us.
Can you tell us about the technology, the oil extracting oil technology with the China gave to Sudan? The whole technology they shared with the Sudan, isn't it? To extract oil. So China is the only country that is sharing technology with us, not the West. They have shown the Sudanese all secret how to extract oil themselves. The whole technology they have shared with Sudan.
Thank you. I also see several young ladies and then this brother and then also young lady. What do you have, Summer? The time is we just have several minutes, so would you like to leave some of your points? Anyone with you? What about you? No, you are okay. You are okay to be silent. Okay. Mr. Silent. Okay.
Maybe I can make a personal observation of what I witnessed like 3 years ago when I was volunteering in Cameroon. And at that time I was working with a local more like a student organization, NGO, that kind of stuff, and they are working on a waste management project that I was really interested in. It's more like these students, they are trying to persuade some local enterprises or some national big companies to donate some cabbage beans in the cities so that the government can recycle or collect the garbage. But I think the problem that I witnessed is that even though the companies, they want to donate those dustbins, but what happened after that? What would the government do? Because the NGO, the student organization, they don't have access to these governmental channels to let them know what their intentions are, what their dreams are. And also, I think that some, like the students, the local students that I worked with, they do have this environmental awareness. They said they didn't want to like throw garbage that's anywhere on the street. They will prefer to take them home and preserve them, and then they collect them in a major place so that the government can come to collect it. So I think in the community level, people are starting to have this awareness. But I'm wondering like how the government can use this awareness to do something. So thank you. That's what I witnessed.
Any response to this question? Because that's your responsibility, right? No answer. Open question.
What was the question?
No, she's just asking. She's seeing lots of the students, they are recycling the garbage, and then they wanted them to be recycled, but they have no channel to the government to recycle. In Cameroon, she was a volunteer in Cameroon for 3 months, and then so that's her own experience. So she observed that there are this kind of students, and from a community there are this kind of awareness. But the point is, what will you do from your side as an official help this community levels awareness to do something themselves?
In Zimbabwe, actually, we promoting communities to work in waste management. I think what she's saying is true. Our major challenge is the appropriate technology for recycling. It's not there. You can mobilize communities to do waste reduction, waste sorting, picking, but where do they do the recycling? That technology is not there. That's the impact that we have. So it's one of the areas that if we have the technology to do the recycling, mobilization part we can do. And say we can see change in terms of management of waste. So our challenges is going to be the technology inside for small scale communities and perhaps bigger for local authorities.
Sure.
Just before I end, I try this. My brother asked me something on the water stream.
Mm-hmm.
In Zimbabwe, we tried that weave to add the research so that it can use financial control. But it never works. I think what we think works is to reduce infiltration of the water bodies. The moment you continue to add the nutrients into that body, might be sewage, might be any other effluents, which is got sulfur and light. Then you continue to get more of the plants growing. So the thrust is to reduce what you are putting into that water body, and you should be able to manage
Then what we are currently doing is a project to create biogas from that plant. Biogas which you can package, you actually harness it, put into bags. We're trying to promote so that people can keep biogas and then sell it. We have people using biogas in the pellet area. So it's one project to deal with the what is there, but we try to reduce the interpretation of the whole water what is using the water.
Thank you. So any
if you get into Sudan like Cameroon, the community is ready to engage in the collection and sourcing of waste, but it is the government will it's not ready to invest in managing waste. Mm-hmm. And there are some recycling plants like plastic recycling, and they put very high taxes on them, so they stop working after a while,
mm-hmm.
after a few, 1 year or two, and they stop because of the taxes. The government.
I'm sure it's that.
Yeah, even the public sector, they don't encourage them to enter the
mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
From the anthropological point of view,
mm.
our ancestors have always been living in harmony with the environment. In Congo, we say forest is my mother. There have never been problems, but because of the greed of our new generation of political leaders, we have this problem, the problem of greed. For a long, long time, our ancestors have always lived in peace with the environment. They treated the environment so well, true or not. But with this new generation of greedy leaders who wants also Mercedes-Benz, like in America, they want to copy other systems, we become like, you know, pretty confused.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should also add some incentives, like in the case of Uganda, they impress someone collector, like a plastic bag or plastic waste, you'll pay. So if you know that you're going to earn from the plastic bags the amount collected,
mm-hmm.
then people will get the urge to look out for those plastic bags and the waste. That's how maybe.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So probably as a kind of a wrap up, also an open question to you for this session. I do have a question because we have discussed today. It's a wonderful discussion, I have to say today. And then we rather focus on recycling issues. Of course, we also target that to other issues and also Professor Pan gave us a rather whole picture, and we all have a better understanding currently about African environment issue and its relation with development. I also still have a question which we haven't discussed so much yet. I think it's about a feel. Because when I feel, firstly, I visited Angola, the capital city. I was so shocked. I didn't find any single trees. Except of the coastal line, there is a line with small palm tree. Only this line, they told me, they just bought it from USA, the Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And then US from Hawaii province. So I asked why, where the trees disappeared. And I was told only because of the war, so people need fuel. So they just cut them down. And then use them as a fuel. So I think then I traveled to other African countries. I found the same questions. All the crops are on the ground without any recycle. And actually, you know, Chinese, how they use it. When I was young, I remember our kitchen mainly it's for this kind of we use crops, to make fire. And then later on, I know many villages, they have a biogas coming from these crops and other waste. and they just recycle it, but it is a kind of a labor-intensive technology. Although it's a really simple thing, but it's rather labor-intensive, so you have to be, you know, work very hard to collect and then to all put them in the well and then to generate electricity for your own purpose, for your own usage. And then I think probably this is a big thing for African environment issues. Because although currently in terms of carbon dioxide emission, African is the least, but African suffers the most. And we also heard some colleagues saying your country also suffer from climate change because the weather, the climate becomes so violent. So I think in long term, this is probably something China and the African can cooperate in this way to identify how to transfer this technology to Africa and then to also improve our environment. So I leave this question here and also to thank you all for coming to exchange with us to give us this very knowledgeable afternoon. And then our next step will be just to go to tour in the campus. Miss Zhou Kanchang will guide you all.